We are here. We are back. We are moving forward, and we are very happy to be joined as we continue the show here by Dr. Jared Ball, who, among other things, is a father, husband, professor at Morgan State University, and curator of imixwhatilike.org. Dr. Jared Ball, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Man, anytime. Always a pleasure, my man.
Well, wanted to start here with a little bit of the controversy we've seen erupting around a movie I have to say I did not expect to be controversial, and that is Queen and Slim, which some people maybe have seen, have not seen. If you don't know, it's I don't even really know how to make a direct comparison to another movie, but essentially some might call it kind of a revenge-based movie. I don't know if that's the way I would put it, but putting a different spin on the issue of black people being killed by the police and being quiescent in the wake of said tragedy. So nevertheless, I mean, it seems like there's a few different controversies that have been broiling around the movie itself. I mean, one directed to the movie itself, where I've seen some criticism from some individuals that it was just sort of sleek looking, but sort of substanceless in terms of how it sort of dealt with the issue of black reactions to police violence. And then there's sort of a separate subset of criticism, related but a little bit separate, about the writer, Lena Waithe, who has, you know, obviously given a number of interviews, as always happens around big movies. And some of her comments, both about sort of, you know, directors and influences and pieces like that, have been, you know, taken poorly by others. So that's sort of a separate but related critique. I know you've seen the movie, Dr. Ball. So, I mean, my first sort of thought is, you know, to what extent do you feel that there is any, you know, justification or substance to this movie as basically being kind of like a non-political political movie?
First, I can't imagine how anyone could reach that conclusion. However, I do need to say, in quite an odd contradiction for me personally, this is the first film I've seen since The Five Heartbeats, where I've walked out feeling this emotional and this destabilized. Mm-hmm. I am fully open to self-critique, as I've said on your show and elsewhere. I'm not a fan of having, given the context that we're in, commercial media projecting something of interest to me. I'm very skeptical about that. So when I saw that, you know, when the reaction I had to the film makes me very skeptical and as I said, self-critical, because I don't even know if I have the words to express what exactly I'm still feeling, but I know that I just have not been moved in decades by a film in this way. But I started to think, when I was looking at some of the criticism myself, that I'm wondering, and this is a wild jump and maybe a leap, and it's not well thought out at all. I admit that to you and your audience. But some of my initial reaction was, to the reaction, was that I have the similar feeling that I felt with some of the reaction to the last installment from Dave Chappelle, where I thought a lot of the criticism of him was misdirected as an issue with Me Too or the LGBTQ community, when in reality, what I thought was the problem was that he was really offering a race-first analysis, and that's what really made people uncomfortable, and they were masking it in other criticisms that are themselves legitimate, but I thought that issue was left out. And in this one, I feel somewhat the same way. I feel that a lot of the reaction in this sense is not in terms of race, but in terms of responses to police violence. And I think the initial concern people are having is to a movie that presents a reaction or a response to police violence that we almost never hear about, we never see. The histories of which do exist, are often omitted or completely mischaracterized when presented at all. I feel like what people are responding to is a discomfort. I think some of it is class-based within the black community. I think some of it is political. But I think it's a discomfort with seeing black people respond with what's called violence and with being supported by a black community, a so-called low-class, underclass black community helping them for the most part. With some exceptions in terms of some of the scenes with the Black Lives Matter style protest. And then, of course, the conclusion of the film, I think the reaction to that, to what the film presents, with the violence that is, has caused people some the concern that I'm seeing. That, again, seems masked in terms of critiques of it not being political or whatever. I don't know how. Let me let you, you know, offer your thought. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, because I don't know how anyone can conclude it's not political, given what the sister is saying and her commentary from the beginning. And let me just say also very quickly, I'm sorry, even the way I actually like the way this story was presented to us with this awkward first date, the subtle ways that they brought in issues of black ownership of restaurants to police violence and the law, to the fact that she says on camera that she's an atheist, that she doesn't believe in God. I thought I almost fell out the chair.
Yeah.
I was like, that's almost the least expressed politics in the world. Anyway, those are some of the initial reactions I've been having these last couple of days to the film. And again, I admit, I don't really know that I have the wording to express everything. But let me let you respond because, I would like to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for sure. I mean, I guess the thing that I've been thinking about the most in terms of the context of the criticism is how is this movie seemingly getting more criticism than Black Panther? And not that I was like ultra critical of Black Panther, but I just thought to myself, it just seems like when anyone was raising the issue, a lot of people were sort of side raising the issue about the CIA being sort of, you know, having this role, obviously, like all Marvel movies, it's deeply integrated into the military industrial complex. And it just felt like a lot of people were sort of basically just saying, oh, well, you know, ultimately that doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? And like, this doesn't matter and that doesn't matter and blah, 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 blah. Like, this is just great to have this, da, 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 da. And I was like, it just seems strange that this then seems to be coming in for so much more criticism just above and beyond. I mean, obviously people can be critical of whatever movie they want to be critical of for whatever reason they want to, but it just seemed to me to be almost just kind of like, well, what, I don't know if holier than thou is what I've been looking for. Maybe that's not exactly expressing the feelings that I've had about it, but maybe, or maybe it is. That's kind of how I felt, like, wow, a lot of this just feels really holier than thou right now. Like, realistically, I don't know. I just feel like everyone's always like, yeah, well, what would happen if Black people actually started shooting back? Then you make a movie where that happens and it's like, oh, it's not good enough. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. But then all these other movies are so heavily like, oh, this is so great. It's so meaningful for the Black community. I think the point you're making about uncomfortability, I think, is strong there, and I think powerful. And I think it also, you know, is at least sparked something else in my mind about it. It is true how few of those images we get. I mean, the only one sort of we had recently was the Nat Turner movie, which obviously was sort of sacrificed on the altar of the director's own the history in Picadillos. But nevertheless, there's not really a celebration, and there's almost like a submissiveness that I think exists in the broader society. I mean, as I say to people all the time, I actually feel the Black community in America should win the Nobel Peace Prize every year. I mean, I'm often surprised that there are less reactions like what Queen and Slim depicts. I mean, just to me, just law of averages, you'd think more of that would happen. And I think some of the reason why that doesn't happen is why it's leaching into the film itself. And I don't know. I mean, that's sort of an all over the place kind of reality. But the way I've always sort of felt about it on a number of different points in terms of these types of movies is very similarly. And I do feel that a lot of, and I feel even around the Lena Waithe criticisms, I mean, you know, okay. I mean, some of it seemed worded a little ridiculously. Her thing about sort of the director and her biracial reality and how that gave her a broader view of the world or whatever. I didn't really understand what that was about. Certainly poorly worded to say that she wanted to play with the idea of what it would be like if Tamir Rice had a gun. I know what she was trying to get at, but it also seems like kind of to some degree, why all this extra criticism on her as opposed to, again, the people behind Black Panther. I don't know. It just felt like a number of not only sort of uncomfortableness with the idea of Black people just shooting back, but what that more deeply touches on, the maybe taproot of that, which is kind of Black people trying to seize back their own narrative and present it in a way where I think that many people who are, in my view, acting in sort of artistic spheres and spaces have, you know, kind of constructed their careers to avoid, quite frankly, in terms of the things that, you know, they have been able to make and do different things. So I've just been a little surprised at the level of criticism of the movie, like that seemed to me a little bit gratuitous and in many ways like more about sort of politics and context around it than about the movie itself, just from my own comparison about different Black movies. But I guess that's sort of to advance the ball a little bit here, Dr. Ball, in many ways, my feeling about this movie in some ways is also deeply rooted in what it feels like the ability to even make this feels like a good thing to me. And for it to be out there and just being talked about, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know if it's people reclaiming our own narratives. I mean, I think it's obviously still within the Hollywood sort of, you know, star system framing. But I do think for sure, to me, it does speak to some degree to, I would say, some intersection of the fact that we're seeing more Black people in general try to sort of reclaim our social narrative in the broader society, that's sort of leeching into the arts world. And that to me seems like a good and a positive thing. And I like that we're having a debate about a movie like this, kind of regardless of the substance of the debate, even when I'm frustrated with it, because it feels like in some ways it's, you know, we since we don't get a lot of these movies, we don't get a lot of this chance. And all the big debates usually around Black movies are around kind of tragedy, and lost. Now, I haven't seen Harriet, so I don't know if that fits into this or not. But to me, it does sort of seem like that sort of separate element of it also has value to it as well, Jared.
I just want to say very quickly, when I was walking out of the theater, I had one of the first thoughts I had was, why isn't there a life-size cutout for me to take a picture in front of, like I saw everybody doing with Black Panther, celebrating the film in that way? To me, this film is more of a real superhero film. And I think interesting that listening to you, I just started thinking about the juxtaposition in terms of what you were saying about the CIA and the military industrial complex. In Black Panther, the hero of the film literally integrates Wakandan technology into the CIA for the use for their use on the world stage. Whereas in Queen and Slim, the integration into the state is a treacherous move by the one who betrays them at the end. Again, why I think people are having a visceral and unexplained or unconscious reaction is not only the violent response, the self-defensive justified violent response, but the non-bourgeois, underclass, national solidarity, even to the point where the mechanic who says, I don't agree with what you did and I'm going to overcharge you to fix your car, still says, and still is not going to snitch on them. He's still going to fix the car and help them, even if he's overcharged. You know, so my point is, it didn't require full agreement with what they did for there to be full solidarity. And anybody, myself included, who has experienced a Southern juke joint like is displayed in that film will have the kind of reaction that I think calls. I mean, I have this same exact memory of those spaces of feeling like no law is getting called here tonight. Nobody's getting snitched on in this room tonight. Everybody here is an outlaw of some form or another. It's just being Black and surviving in this country. So I had, when I saw that scene in particular, I was like, this is exactly what it felt like to be in those spaces and the exact kind of vibe. And when the sister tells her, you got the drinks for free, you know, tells him you got the drinks for free and you're going to be all right here. That's exactly how I have ever felt, even though I was never on the run for anything such as this in those spaces. So I loved all of that. And I think that that's part of the problem people are having, because what I think they loved about the unconsciously or not about the Black Panther was the nonprofit integrating into the CIA element of the film. That whole, you know, we're going to deliver you an art center into your ghetto, as opposed to a group of people from the ghetto saying, we're going to deliver freedom for all of us, even if it's just symbolically. I mean, and I love that. And then when I heard when the writer and director talked about how, and I have a lot of problems. I mean, the director called the brother that plays Slim, she said he's our modern day Paul Robeson. Okay, I mean, that's absurd.
Right.
This whole biracial, you know, super, you know, panoptic view of the world and its problems is overblown and mythologized as well. You know, so I'm not saying that everything is perfect. It's not the perfect movie that I would still fantasize gets made. But in this context, and to your point, this has exactly been my response. I almost don't care what people think, and I don't care, relatively speaking, that I've been, you know, criticized more than not for, you know, once in 30 years, literally since the Five Heartbeats, saying that I like the movie this much. You know, and I get all that. I don't even care. My point is, this is the text that has to be discussed. And I love it because of all the problems and all the strings that are being pulled as a result. So I don't expect that we're going to see, you know, a takeoff from this, and we'll, you know, see a renaissance of some kind. But I do hope that all of us can sort of wallow in these responses a little bit and investigate our own. You know, I'm being as self-critical as I think is possible about why I am so happy with this film. You know, even given the way Bokeem Woodbine is, you know, for some reason you can see him full on punch a woman in the face, and for some reason the film doesn't make you hate him. Makes you look at it as the sister's response to him as if she is not only as strong as him and would maybe whoop his butt, but is somehow empowered in that moment. And I'm not, and I'm saying there got to be flaws with that I can't describe. I know that can't be the best way to depict it, but for some reason that was pulled off for me, that they got me to not recoil from violence against a woman in the way that I would normally have in a scene like that. So I don't know what is going on with me personally, but I suspect that a version of that is what's going on with all of us and that are causing some of these responses. And again, I do think it is similar to what happened with the Chappelle show, the Chappelle performance, that a lot of these responses are visceral and have something unconsciously to do with a different kind of politics that we're not supposed to be addressing at this point in this day and time. And this one touches on one for sure. armed self-defense and a national so-called low-class self-defensive effort to protect those people. And I love it.
Yeah, and that was the actor you're talking about, Dr. Ball, is Daniel Kaluuya, who's actually in Black Panther as well. And he may not be the next Paul Robeson, but there are talks that he may be tapped to play Fred Hampton in a forthcoming biopic on Hampton. And, you know, I think another thing about Black Panther worth noting, I think at base, is for all the energy around it, it was a superhero movie about, you know, a fictional African country and a fictional resource. And so that allowed us, you know, as Black Americans to kind of cast our own sort of aspirational sort of things on it. Whereas, you know, Queen and Slim is rooted in a reality. And you know, that kind of self-defense reality that you're talking to, Dr. Ball, I think is, you know, very scary to a lot of people. But I'm curious for your perspective, how does Queen and Slim sort of fit into the Vernon philosophy of Black film that you've spoken with us about before?
That's what I'm saying. I'm extremely critical. What I was just calling the Vernon philosophy of Black media avoidance was that Black people should not want to see films projecting our experiences back to us in this commercial context, this commercial, you know, hostile, cologne, whatever context. So I'm saying, when I walked out of that film feeling the way I've still felt these last few days, I'm saying to myself, what is going on? Maybe this is a glitch and this is a mistake and they didn't catch it. And that's why so much of this criticism is being echoed and projected, because as a way of as a backlash again. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just slipping. I don't know. Or maybe they just got me. I mean, I really don't know. But I will say, as quite the contradiction, you know, there are two people that I know very well who are in the background involved in supporting the development of that film about Fred Hampton. And I've said to both of them, I don't think this film should get made. I don't think that they should be making a film about Fred Hampton. I don't want to see it. It's not going to do us any good. In fact, quite the opposite. So I'm acknowledging there that this is a contradiction, because here I'm saying I'm just happy that the symbolism of what Queen and Slim did are carried out in this film. Whereas what I am saying, and I am predicting and have already cautioned to, you know, they're not listening to me. They just hear me because we're friends. But just say, you know, I don't think this film should get made. I'm acknowledging the contradiction. I'm acknowledging the difference. But the only thing that I would say that would be the difference in the two is that, and where I was seeing something lacking in Queen and Slim that I would have loved to be able to see is, you know, for instance, what if these two were not on a first date looking to be together romantically, but what if these two were, you know, members of a local community-based organization, for instance? Like, I think that dynamic alone would have added an element to the film that maybe would have prevented it from getting made. I don't know, that might be the difference. But that's what I would see is the difference between Queen and Slim and Fred Hampton, and why I think the Fred Hampton piece is that much more dangerous and should not be made. Because what I think will be done there is an assault on the politics, a depoliticization of Hampton and the Panthers, or an absence or an absenting sort of an erasing of the context of the Panthers in a way that will reduce it, sort of, so to speak, to where it loses its value. That's sort of in my argument. So, but I don't know. And again, as I said with the Vernon philosophy, the point is a general trajectory that I'm arguing we should have towards these products. I'm not arguing that in every case that it's always going to be relevant. I'm not arguing in every case that it's always going to work. And I'm not arguing in every case that people, even someone like me, is going to walk away unmoved or you know, what I'm trying to argue in all of the work that I do, and that, why I think the work that you all are doing and will be doing in the future is so important, because it is asking all of us to challenge ourselves. I'm not attempting to stand off on high and say I figured it all out, now you all catch up to me. I'm saying I think we all need to have more communication with each other and dialogue with each other and arguments with each other about how we're to resist all that's being imposed on us. You know, again, a long rambling answer, but the short of it is I really don't know. And I acknowledge it as a contradiction. I'm awash in them. And the challenges that are proposed to proposed to us through this dominant media make it so that we have to be ever vigilant, including people like me who claim that they study this for a living.
But no, I hear you on a number of points, and some would say contradictions are the motive force of history. So I appreciate all these perspectives, and I think it's important, and I think obviously a lot to be said here. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We're going to take a break here on By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik, but we will be back, so stay with us.
By any means necessary.